Okay. The parsha talks about tefillin. One of the many parshas talks about tefillin. So I want to talk about a sugi in tefillin. I really want to talk about the sugi in tefillin next week. But in order to have the discussion about next week's topic, which is the proliferation of black-on-black tefillin, tefillin that is blackened on both sides, that perhaps you may own, or perhaps you've seen people have, where it's not just black and white, but it's black on the bottom as well. In order to understand that, in order to appreciate that, we need to have a different discussion first, which is also Lamaisa. This shiur stands on its own, and this discussion is certainly worthy of its conversation by itself. But that's talking about the blackening of Ritzos. Let's talk tonight about the Ritzos, the straps that go on our tefillin, and the halacha that it has to be black. The basis of this is a Shulchan Aruch and Simad Lamed Gimel. Let's look at the Shulchan Aruch Lamed Gimel Gimel. And that's how we'll begin. The Shulchan Aruch tells us as follows. It says towards the second line, down towards the Shulchan Aruch on top, Halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, shiwa ritzus shechoros mi-bachutz, that the ritzus have to be blackened on the outside, meaning the side that people see. Aval mitzad panim, on the inside, yasem eisit sevesh yirtza. The Gemara Menachos Daf Lamed Hey says you can color whatever you want, green, red, it's fine. You can make whatever color you want. Chutz mi adam. But maybe not red, says the Gemara. Shema yomru shemidam chatatav nitzbu vadimu. Because maybe people will think that it became red from some sort of blood that came from somewhere else, and they'll begin to question you, and they might think there's a problem. But really, the underlining of the tefillin can be any color. It doesn't have to be black. It doesn't have to be white. It just shouldn't be red. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. And that's the halacha. That's not so controversial. I think we're all Mekayim that din. All of our Ritzus are black. Let's just discuss a few questions to clarify what this halacha means. The first question is, what's considered shechoros? So what's considered black? What color is black in halacha? So the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkatan Yotes and in the Ber Halacha Dibra Maschil Ritzus, which we'll look at in a moment, they cite the Baruch Shamar. Ayin Baruch Shamar. Look in the Baruch Shamar. Demash midvarav demitzvah lashkirin ad sheyu shechoros ka'orev. That they should be very, very black. And he also says there, which is what the Bir Halacha brings, that it's a halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, that the Ritzus have to be black. And it should be as black as it can get. Black like a raven. That is how dark the blackness of the tefillin have to be. That's the sheet of the Baruch Shamar. Nobody seems to argue. The Mikdash Ma'at, which is the Sefer Hilchos Tefillin, he says that it's only l'chadchila that it should be as black as possible. But meaning, if people look at this and say, what color is this? And people say, it's black? So then it's black al pi halacha, and that's sufficient. And it's kasher b'di'evan, he says, even if it's faded. Doesn't that, if your tefillin begin to fade in the blackness, that's still 100% fine. Now the Bir Halacha here in Dibra Maschil HaRitzus, which is on the bottom of the first page, he says as follows, says the same thing, and he supports this with a Gemara in Maseches Nida. The Gemara in Maseches Nida says, talks about different shades of black, some of which are blue, some of which are brown, and the Gemara says that as long as it's shachor, as long as people call it black, then it's kosher and that's fine. So that's question number one, how black is black? If people look at it and say that your ritzus are black, then that's fine. You don't need to bring out, you know, the Sherman Williams paint swatch and start comparing it and how black it is. Black and black is based on how people receive it, and that's sufficient. That's question number one. The second question, which the Bir Halacha discusses, is how much of the ritzus needs to be black? Well, all of them. Why would I think anything less? So let's look at what the Bir Halacha says. Dibra Maschil HaRitzus Shechoros. Towards the bottom. He says, Bein Shal Yad, Bein Shal Rosh. Has to be the Shayad, the Shal Rosh. Umistapakna, Imin HaTorah Dai B'chol Echad Ad Kadei Shiu Ro, Vashar Hu LeMitzvah Ulinoi Ba'alma. He says, maybe only the amount of the Ritzua that needs to be black is the amount that you need of Ritzua in the first place. Do the Ritzus and our Shal Yad need to be as long as they are? No, not technically. Because technically, all you need to fulfill the mitzvah, Mikra Adin, is that it should wrap around the arm once, and then be able to go to the hand and wrap three times around your finger. That's all you need, Mikra Adin. We are machmer for reasons of Kabbalah and things like that, that we wrap seven times, and some people do shins over here and all different stuff on the hands. But really, the least amount that your tzur needs to be is to go once around the arm and three times around the finger, which is much shorter. So the Chafetz Chaim says, maybe we'll say that you only need to have black what? The limited amount that your tzus have to be long in the first place. Anything else is fine. Oh, Dilma, maybe perhaps. It's all one unit. Maybe the whole thing needs to be black. So he says, he says, I can bring a proof, but from the Gemara in Menachos Lamed Hei Amud Aleph. Ketani Mias Ben Yerukon. The Gemara there says that there's a steer between a Mishnah and a Braisa as to whether the Resur needs to be black. And the Gemara answers there that one is talking about the front and the other is talking about the back of the Resur. That's what the Gemara says. That's how the Gemara alleviates the question. So it says, T'lo Mishani Beheter Al Hashur V'lohaya Mak Sha'od I'o Bifnim. So it says that the halacha is that only the smallest shear of the ritzua, if the halacha is, that only the smallest amount of the ritzua needs to be black, so the Gemara could have said that the shear ritzua needs to be black, and the remainder of the ritzua needs to be another color. It doesn't say one front, one back. The Gemara says one front, one back. It doesn't say a little bit can be black, and the rest doesn't have to be black. But the Gemara doesn't give that answer. The Gemara doesn't say that. And therefore, he says, maybe this is a proof that the entire ritzua has to be black. Good. So he says, "V'yesh l'tchos desvir le'la gemara d'olahavi kabraisa matir al kopar midrabban l'tzvo b'shnei gavne b'tzarechad mishum demechse kenumar." So he rejects it because maybe the rabban rejects such a ritzua because it would look strange to have different colors. Meaning it would look weird to have a ritzua that's a little bit like this, a little bit like that. Why would we assume the Gemara is only having the smallest amount? I'm not sure. The Gemara would seemingly, does not, the Gemara, the Chafetz Chaim would assume that the Gemara should have said that. If the Gemara is only limiting it to the smallest amount, the Gemara should have said that. And he leaves it as a tzarachian. Now, the Rambam famously says, which we're going to talk about next week, the Rambam says, the Rambam says it's beautiful that the whole ritzua should be black. Right? That's what the Rambam says, and that's the source of the black-on-black tefillin. The Beis Yosef understands that the Rambam means that the front and the back of the ritzua should be black. But maybe the Rambam means, when he says, kol ha-ritzua, maybe what the Rambam means is your question. Maybe the Rambam's saying, mikar adin, some of it should be black, but maybe the rest of it is just lanoi. It's a nice thing, the whole thing is black. But he doesn't say that. Nevertheless, the Das Kedoshim says that the more than the ikar shear of the ritzua doesn't need to be black. That's the opinion of Yosef Chaim Zunfeld and the Samas Chaim as well. So the Chafetz Chaim is a safek, and the Das Kedoshim and Yosef Chaim Zunfeld say, as long as you have the shear ritzua is black, the rest of it is okay. And now, why is that important? Because as we'll come to understand in a moment, when your tefillin begin to peel and to crack by the shalyan, and you've used them for many, many years, and it begins to not be so black anymore, technically, me'ikar adin, you're still good. Because you have a shear of tefillin that's enough black, and that's fine. That's one point to keep as well. The third question we wanted to see. What?
Even broken up?
What are you broken up?
The color
starts to come apart by the shalyad because you use it so many times. Right. So if the black starts to peel off the shalyad, mikar adin, according to the Das Kedoshim and Yosef Chaim Zunfeld, you only need to have black on the ikar shir tefillin, which is way earlier than your the things around your shalyad.
But if it starts to crack
earlier.
No, correct. If it cracks earlier up here, over here, then maybe we have a problem. Correct. But when it starts to crack only by the wrapping on your hands, then we have by the fingers, we have to rely upon, 100%. No. Correct. It would have to be in one in shear. Correct. The third question the Chafetz Chaim deals with is, does the part of the ritzua that's tucked into the kesher, meaning of the knot itself by the knot over here, the part that you don't see, or the part of the tefillin that goes into the ma'avarta is the hole. I should have brought my tefillin. The part of the ma'avart is the hole that the ritzua passes through that nobody sees because it's inside, tucked away. Does that also have to be black? So the Chafetz Chaim says, as follows. He says, Sarachin, Gam Eina Yodei Mahalach Moshe Misinai Kam Ola Chaticha Ratzua Shinechnesas Lama Varta. He says that, is it also Halacha Moshe Misinai, the part that goes into the Ma'avartza, the whole of the tefillin you don't see? U'lechadchila lo mistapakna dechayiv lahashchir. And maybe lechadchila, there's no suffix that you are chayiv to blacken it. Dilma misapecha bayis mizeh makom. And he says that it's clear from the Gemara that even the part that needs to, that part needs to be black. And his proof is that the Gemara is concerned that the Ritzua moves around, and therefore, if you color the underside red and it flips around, people are going to see it. And the Ritzua, says the Chafetz Chaim, can move out of the Ma'avartza. Yes, the piece inside the tefillin might not have to be black, but let's say it moves around one day and it comes out of the Ma'avartza, people are going to see that it's not black, and that would be a problem as well. Now, I'm not sure why that proof makes sense, because it's much more common for a Ritzua to do what? To flip around, right? For a Ritzua to flip is a much more common thing. It's very uncommon for the Ritzua to move out of the Ma'avartza, to move out of that place where it's where the tefillin are kept. The Das Kedoshim seems to say that anything that's inside the Ma'avartza or tucked away is not Ma'ake, but again, the Chafetz Chaim here seems to have a suffix. Many Sofrim have the Minog, though. I don't know the last time you saw your tefillin being made, but when they insert the Ritzua into the Ma'avartza beforehand, they will sand down the corners of the Ma'avartza on the inside, so when you're pulling the Ritzua in, there's not a scratch or a sharp edge that pulls off any of the black. Because they want to be careful that everything should be black all the way through as well. Regardless, all of our Ritzuas become pre-made black anyway. They're not making the Ritzua right there in the store for you, so it's all black anyway, and it's not an issue. Okay. Which leads now to our most important question is, what is the status of small spots of white on the Ritzua? You had your tefillin for a long time, the black begins to come away, but maybe there's a little dot where there's no black. What's the status? So the Sefer Das Nota, which is questions and sugyas that were asked from Chaim Kanievsky. So we're not looking so much at what Kanievsky says here, but they bring a mesorah from the Chazoner. So the Chazoner said that if there's a white spot on the Ritzua, and it's surrounded by black entirely, then we invoke the principle of Omeid Meruba Al Haparetz. If there's more black than white, then we consider the whole thing to be, the majority to be black around it as well. And Rav Nissen Karelitz in the Chut Shani says that there's no shear for how much white is allowed, and therefore, if there's a place in the Ritzua which is not white, you should try to blacken it. But it doesn't need to be closely inspected. You don't need to sit there with a magnifying glass. It's whatever you would see from holding the Ritzua, you know, normal away from you. If it looks black, then you consider it to be black. There's a tshuva of the Maharshag. The Maharshag is one of the great Hungarian Hasidic poskim. So he writes in Orachaim Siman Zayin. He says that if rove of the Ritzua is black, the majority of the Ritzua on your tefillin is black, then what should we say? Rubo kukulo. If most of it is black, then the whole thing is black. What's his proof? The Gemar Nazir Dachman Bey says that Ruba Kakulo is a principle in Kol HaTorah Kula. It's a principle that we apply everywhere. And when it comes to Paraduma, what's the halacha? There are two white hairs in the cow's pasul, because the Torah says Para Aduma Tamima. But if it wasn't for that pasuk, says the Gemara, then I would assume in Kol HaTorah Kula, Ruba Kakulo. So says the Marashag, okay, I have tefillin. Most of it is black, rubo kukulo, so the whole thing is black. And this is Rav Yosef Chaim Zonfeld says as well in the Tshuva Salmas Chaim.
It should be the same thing as the Omer
Meruah. The what?
It should be the same thing as the Omer Meruah Aparas.
The same thing.
It should be the same thing.
Correct. The same.
Omer Meruah Aparas had nothing to do with being surrounded by something.
Correct. It's rubo kukulo. Correct. 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 Could be. 100%. The Chazon, whatever. The way they quoted B'Shem the Chazonish, they didn't use that language on Ruba Kugula, but a hero could be the same thing. Yeah.
But it's from the front. It's not from the other side. Because right now, if we're talking about the...
Correct. But I don't care about the other side. But I don't care about the other side. I don't care about the other side. The other side's not important.
That also means that if a big part of the string is a different color, but most of the string is black, then that shouldn't correct that. Because of that thing, the tournament should be okay.
Correct.
Not for the night.
Correct. 100%. Correct. Exactly. Good. Yeah.
What was Rebbe
from? Then that's a problem.
That's a problem.
Yes, that would be a problem. However, there's just two questions in Lamdas. There is, they say B'Shem Rechaim, Rechaim Salvechik, I don't know what this is written, but they say B'Shem Rechaim, that Rubo Kukulo only applies to a Maisa. If I do a Maisa, most of it, then that's fine. For example, when it comes to Shchita, right? The Shchita is kosher if I do Rubo Kukulo. If I do Rove of the Simanim of the animal's neck, then it's kosher. But, and also if you drink Rove Kos and Leil HaSeder, we say Rubo Kukulo. But we don't say Rubo Kukulo when it comes to a Metzias, a reality. That's the same B'Shem Rav Chaim. That obviously would call into question this. I'm not sure Rav Chaim would say. I'm not sure. And also, the fact that the Mishabrura in Sif Katzin Yates is concerned that the black on the Kesher not get rubbed off would indicate maybe Rubo Kukulo doesn't apply to the Ritzua. It should be entirely black. Lemaisa will tell you the following. Lemaisa will tell you the following. If small pieces of the Ritzua are not black, they're peeling off, they're rubbed out, things like that, it does not make the Ritzua not kosher, no matter what the sofer tells you in the store. You don't need to get new Ritzuas. Your Ritzuas are still kosher, and it's fine. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Arbach and Elicha Shlomo says that if the Ritzua appears to be black, it's kosher, and even if they're small dots that are not black, and on the part of the Ritzua that's beyond the shear, you certainly don't have to be so makbid as well. Rosh Sternbach writes in Chuvas Nagos and Chelik Beis that it's proper to color them black possible. And that's a good thing to do, to color them if you can. It's a good thing to do. It's a good thing to do. But again, Mikar Adin, if you see Ritzuas beginning to not be so black, they're beginning to rub away, so you can, we'll talk about coloring them in with one of those little pens, or those little things they sell in the store. But Mikar Adin, your tefillin are still kosher, the Ritzuas are fine. That's clear, either because you have an Ikar Shir already on the upper part of the tefillin, and no source in the halacha seems to say that if a little bit is not black, that ruins the whole thing. Yeah?
If the end of the Ritzua looks like a little crack, can you just cut it off?
Sure. You want to make sure you still have enough to do it.
Yeah,
as long as 100%, for sure. Not a problem to cut it off. There is one shita that we'll come back to next time, and that's the shita of the Keses HaSofer. The Keses HaSofer is written by the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Shlomo Gansrid. The Chassam Sofer in Zaskam, as the Keses HaSofer says, that nobody can practice Safras unless they're a Bucky in the Keses HaSofer. It's considered to be the gold standard of what you need to know to be a Sofer. So the Keses HaSofer writes in Perachov Beis that he thinks that it's true that the back of the Ritzua does not need to be black, but the side of the Ritzua needs to be black. Do you understand what I mean here? Right? If this is a Ritzua, this is black, and this over here needs to be black. Because it only says the back doesn't have to be black, but the sides, says the Keses HaSofer, do have to be black. Because that's Nira Mibachutz. The Halach L'Moshe B'Sinai is that which is seen from the outside needs to be black. This is not cited by the Mishabura, it's not cited by the Aruch HaShulchan, and the Chazon Ish brings a proof against it. He says, the way the Ritzuos are made, the Shulchan Aruch tell us to make Ritzuos, it says, make one large piece of leather black, and then what? And then cut it. Well, if the Shulchan Aruch wanted the sides to be black, what would it have said? It would have said, make strips of leather first, and then blacken them. The fact that the Shulchan Aruch says, take one large piece of leather and then use a circular device to turn it into strips, indicates the Shulchan Aruch knew that the sides were not going to be black. How else could you make them any other way? I don't know of any, maybe there's a sofer out there who wants to make extra money, who sells special Keses HaSofer Ritzuos, I'm not sure, that are just the sides. We'll get to black on black, you fulfill the sheets of the Keses HaSofer, which we'll talk about next time, but that's the sheet as well. Okay, what about the batim? What about the house of the tefillin? Does that have to be black? So the Gemara actually doesn't tell us if the blackening of the bias of the house of the tefillin is halacha Moshe B'Sinai. The Gemara is silent on that issue. Tosfos and Menachos, other Rishonim, cited by the Beis Yosef and Sibbel Amud Beis, seem to say that only the Ritzua needs to be black, but the batim don't have to be black. But the Beis Yosef cites the Sefer HaTrumah, Talmud of the Ri, who says that perhaps halacha moshav sinai, the bottom needs to be black. The Mordechai says the re understood from the Gemara, the bias has to be black like the Ritzua. And if you don't have it over here, but if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, then Lamed Beis is one of the longest Siman of the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says that it's a mitzvah for the batim to be colored black as well, and that's what we pass them. So the Mishnah Berurah in Kuf Pei Dalid, the Mishnah Berurah says in Kuf Pei Dalid that Mashna B'diyeva Eina Li'ikuva. He says it's a machlokas b'diyeved whether the blackening of the bias is ma'akev or not. And Rav Nissen Karel, it says that there's no shear for the black of the batim, and if there's a point that's not black, and it's very obvious, then it should be blackened. But we're more, I think people often think that their bias is the most important thing to blacken, and the ritsua is like secondary. No. The ritsua is mefurish, we know for sure has to be blackened. The bias is a suffix whether it's ma'akev if it's not black. The bias is less important to be black than the Ritzua. So we need to be careful to look at the Ritzua. If you see on the corners of the bias, it begins to look white, so then it's certainly kosher b'diavad. And when you're able to, you should go and try to blacken it if you can. The Baruch Shamar actually, when he's talking about blackening your Ritzuas and your tefillin l'shma, the Baruch Shamar says that he would have kavana, the shame, the bias of the tefillin, indicating he thinks it should be, you know, done l'shma as well, and it's part of the mitzvah. Okay, the last thing we'll talk about now is doing it l'shma, painting it l'shma. So the Tur cites the Sefer HaTrumos, who says the following about the ritzu of the tefillin. V'kasa b'sefer HaTrumos shetzarech sheyishchor yisrael l'shem tefillin. It has to be l'shma when you blacken your ritzuah. Ve'en la'shchiran al yidei nehuri. A guy cannot do the blackening of the tefillin. The proof is that when it comes to tzitzis, the spitting of the strings has to be l'shma, and the shame should apply the blackening of the ritzuahs. In the summary of the Sefer HaTrumos, at the end of the Sefer, so he says again the blackening of the ritzuah needs to be l'shma, and it's important to say that there's no halacha min hadin to make the batim black. And therefore, it's clear that the Sefer HaTrumos is referring to the Ritzua that has to be black, and that's the halacha. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch, you have it in front of you, and Lamed Gimel Dalid. So if you look in Lamed Gimel Dalid, the Shulchan Aruch tells us this important halacha. Tov sheyishcharei Yisrael l'shma. It's good that a guy should do it, that Yisrael should do it l'shma, below a Yehudi, and not a guy. That's what he says. And the Rama adds, "Umiu b'diavad kosher imishcher or habatim, avar ritzua sefil b'diavad pasal." He says that if a guy blackens the bias of ritzvah, it's kosher b'diavad. But if a guy blackens the ritzua, then it is pasal. Again, the ritzua is the more important thing. The Magen Avraham says the Mechaber holds the ritzuas are not blackened l'shma, it's kosher b'diavad, and the Rama holds that it's pasal. The Choshani says that if you generally say l'shem kedushas tefillin, when you blacken your tefillin, then you can assume that you probably did it if you forgot this time. So that's important to see here as well. Your tefillin are already blackened l'shma. If you then take, you see something that your tzua is beginning to peel, and you now want to take the paint, and you want to now blacken it, you have to remember to say that it's l'shem kedushas tefillin. If b'diyeved, you did not do it, so Rosh Shermach says you should peel off what you did, you should scrape what you did, and go back and do it again. And that would be the way to do it. Now, how do we understand the Mechaber, who seems to go against the Sefer HaTrumos in the Tur? The Tur says, maybe when his Torah says, Tzarech, it means l'chadchil or b'diavad. So Rabbi Kiva Eger's Chedushim says that Tzarech is on the Chefza, then it's ma'akev b'diavad. But if Tzarech is on the Gavra, if I say these objects must have this, so then it's ma'akev, even b'diavad after the fact. But if I say that the person, tzarech, must do this, then it means you do something, then it's only l'chadchila. So he says, if the Torah says that tzarech is for the Jew, tzarech that the Jew does the blackening, that's not going on the chetz, the tefillin, it's going on the gavra, the person to do it. And therefore, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, therefore b'diavad, if the Jew doesn't do it l'shma, or it's not done l'shma, it's kosher and it's mutter b'diavad.
And then a person says, if a person dies the ritzuos without saying the shem kedushas tefillin, he's still doing it the shem kedushas tefillin.
Why?
Because he's not doing it because he wants that wall of his house black.
It's true.
In other words, there would be an what seems to be an inherent Hashem Kedusha still, and if a person is doing it because he knows that it's stressed.
As opposed to a guy.
As opposed to a guy.
Correct.
This is the right way, and this is the way.
Correct.
Where a person has to peel off the paint, that's a
whole. Yeah. So Rishtermach is a chumrah. I agree. Rishtermach is a chumrah. It's kashu b'diavad. He says lachadchila to make it better lishma. That's what he says. Do I think a person practicing to sit there with a razor blade scraping off his phone? Probably not. Probably not something that people are going to do. The Prima Gadim cites that Sefer Trumas, and he says that everything there is a chiyuv to do needs to be done lishma. He doesn't understand why the Mechaber says it's tov. The Radbaz says any ksiva of kedusha needs to be lishma. The Ritzuos contain osios. Where do the Ritzuos contain osios? Because the knots, right? The knots of the Ritzuos contain osios. So if the Radbaz says that any writing needs to be lishma, and the Ritzuos are and form the letters of Shem Hashem, so when it comes to painting black on the Ritzua, it's a ksiva of kedusha, and therefore it should be ma'akiv if it's not on the Shema. It's a bit strange that the Radbaz views the Shem Hashem and the Ritzua as a form of ksav. It was just like a real, just finish over here with the Mishabura in Sifkatan Chav Gimel. The Mishabura in Sifkatan Chav Gimel says there are other things that need to be done the Shema as well. He says, V'kol shechein b'chol davar shetzarech shetfilm gufali kuva k'mo. What needs to be the Shema? Asiyas habayis, the making of the house, the shin shalo, b'chol pratav shu kedin. The tfiraso, the sewing of the till needs to be the Shema. The next, Oasiyas HaKesha Shalom, when you make the Kesha in your tefillin, it needs to be Lishma. To Chol Eluhu Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, Imasin Yisrael Shalom Lishma Pasal. And if Yisrael does it Shalom Lishma, it's going to be Pasal. And the Mishabura continues and he cites the Prima Gadim, who discusses who can blacken Lishma. This is good to know if for like children. Because of a Prima Gadim, Diyesh Limnoam Lasos Koza De Katan. A child should not do anything that needs lishma in one's tefillin.
And what about isha?
What?
What about a woman?
Not a woman either. Because a woman is not... Well, one second. Afilim gadol yamod agav. Even if an adult is sitting over the child and saying, remember this, do it lishma. V'itzaveyu lasos lishma. V'chein shelo lasos l'madei isha. And a woman shouldn't do it. V'chein hapos sulin hamavor l'kam mesim lamates. And all the things that pass later on lamates. He says the blackening of the ritzua, that's not the guf of the tefillin itself, is mutter for a woman to do it. She'll know how to do it, you know, lishma like a man. A child cannot do it. Until a person stands over them and it says something. Okay?
So,
which one?
The
Lashem Kedusha Tefillin. She can have das that it should
not
be Lashma.
She's not
correct. That's why she's not in the bias of the tefillin. The bias of the tefillin needs to be somebody who's right to wear tefillin. But on the Ritzua, says the Chafetz Chaim, it just needs to be done Lashma by somebody who can have das. Yeah. Yeah. He what?
He blackened the tefillin for them.
Ruchan Kanevsky blackened?
For them. And I think there was a den that they were...
The whole Ritzua?
Whatever.
Okay.
I'll find the story. But yeah. I think they needed someone older. So there was a further requirement that they weren't... I don't know if there was an adipus for them to be married.
Yeah.
Some steps. And then there was a whole group that then came and he sat and he blackened all of the Ritzuas.
I don't know.
The whole group. But the other question would be if the tour is using the